welcome to BBS Talk Radio for a beautiful you. Tonight we have Mr. Tim Greshman on the hot seat. We have turned the tables on Tim, who is also a host of an internet talk radio show called PageantCast for the pageant, beauty pageant industry. Tonight our show is 1 hour long. Actually, we are going to be speaking to Tim for 1 hour. Since we are still in our infancy, we are looking for advertisers who would like to advertise their business on For a Beautiful You Talk Show and get the visibility that you deserve. So if you're interested in advertising on For a Beautiful You, please contact BBS Talk Radio, and they will fill you in on all of the information. So, good evening, Tim.
Good evening. How are you doing, Daya?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for being a guest on For a Beautiful You.
Yeah, I'm not used to this. I'm used to hosting, so I'm just getting a little rust that I have on me, so be easy on me.
Oh, you're going to do just fine. You're great on your show when you interview the girls, and you're just a great host with them and make them feel comfortable, and that's what it's all about.
Well, thank you very much for that. You know, the real hard part about it, and I'm sure you're witnessing this with your program, is over the telephone lines, it's difficult to get that rapport going with your guests, and that is probably the hardest part of the job. And I'm really glad to hear that people at least feel that we're making a connection over that telephone line.
Well, what makes this for me a little difficult, Tim, is that I am running straight for 1 hour, and I risk the chance of asking a question I may have asked 25 minutes earlier.
Could I tell you something? What I found out that you're doing 1 hour, and you have no commercial breaks, and you have no music to go to or anything, I thought, that's crazy. For 17 years, I did a live show, and I had music ready to go. I had commercials ready to go. It was like the minute I felt that I was going to screw anything up, I'm like, let's go to a commercial. Hey, it's time to play the next great polka tune. And this is working without a net. So congratulations.
This is working without a safety net. It is true. And you know what, Tim? Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You know, I was a producer and hostess for a Comcast television talk show for 5 years called The Essence of a Woman, and we were on the Comcast network for, like I said, 5 years. And you never know when you have guests on. Some are very talkative and you can interview them. Others, you have to, they're like one-liners for answers, and you're like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, and actually that's how I got started with the pageant staff. As I had mentioned just a moment before, I had about 17 years that I did a radio show here in Milwaukee. I broadcast out of Milwaukee. And for 17 years, I did a live German radio show. And I had, I'd say it was about, I always make it into a mountain, but it was about two or three interviews in a row where it went really astonishingly poor. I would ask a question, and I was getting yes or no answers back, and that's no good when you're interviewing somebody. And a lot of these things were for events, so you would say, well, I hear the big German festival is coming up this weekend, and they would answer yes. Where do I go from there? Thanks so much. I just stated the obvious. Or actually, they wouldn't say yes. They'd say, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and it was like, better learn some tap shoe, some tap dancing, because I'm going to be doing that for the rest of the interview. So I actually was at a German event, and I was kind of bemoaning this to a host of another show here in Milwaukee at German Fest. And at our Milwaukee German Fest, which is just an absolutely huge festival, we had in the parade that year was Miss Milwaukee, which is a prelim to the America system and Miss Wisconsin. And my buddy says, why don't you go interview her? And I had my tape recorder with me, and I went and interviewed her, and it went fantastic. And I was thinking about it. Well, of course it went fantastic. That's what these ladies compete in. They're professional interviewers. That's all they do. They're fantastic at it. Why don't I have a few of them on the show? So I started having them on the program, and it wasn't exactly popular with the poker crowd, you know. So when the idea of podcasting first came about, I thought, this is the perfect venue for this type of entertainment. And we came out of the shoot with some fantastic interviews. We had a couple Miss USAs and Miss Galaxies right off the bat that we had on the program. And it's really grown from there. Our first show, when we put it out, we had 20 listeners. And now we have, you know, somewhere in the 700 to 800 range are downloading each program. And what's great is they're going back and grabbing some of the old programs. Because we're not live like you, they can run back through the archives. And I think you've got some archives, too, at CBS Radio. But it's fantastic to see people rediscovering all these old shows that we had. The first, I think it was like episode 8 or 9, we went to the press conferences for Miss America, their first year in Las Vegas. And those guys, they were trying to figure out what they were doing in Las Vegas. They were used to Atlantic City. And you heard, you know, Art McMaster and some of these guys saying, we're going back to an old-fashioned pageant. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Well, you know, fast forward 2 years, and now we got a reality show, and they're pretty well saying, we're not your mother's pageant anymore. And it's kind of interesting to listen to some of those old press conferences, and we got them there in their entirety out on our site. And those are some of our more popular programs that we've had over the years.
Now, you started Pageant Cast about 4 years ago?
Yeah, it was, I believe it was October of 2004. I believe it was. It was just the October previous to Miss America 2005 when Jennifer Berry won. So I basically started it because I was going down there. I thought, hey, this is, if I'm going to do a podcast like this, I might as well do it when I have a press pass to go to Miss America and do some of the press conferences and record some of those things. So that really got me from thinking about it to actually taking action. And I'm looking forward to going to Miss America this year in January again. That is our hope. We'll see how we get that all put together.
Now, for the listeners who have never heard of Pageant Cast, how often do you have your talk radio shows?
Well,
and when?
Our program is released every Tuesday morning. It is a half-hour program. It is a weekly program. One of the beauties of the show, because we're a true podcast and not internet streaming, not a live show, people can tune into it anytime. It is downloadable. And it can be very easy, or you can get all technological with it. You can go to pageantcast.com and just click on a link there, and it'll start playing the show. Or you can set up to subscribe it in iTunes or what are called RSS feed readers. You can use one of those, and it'll automatically, or as I like to say it, automagically, it'll just download each show as it occurs. So each week you won't have to even check the website. It would just automatically fall into your in-basket. So there's a lot of cool features that way with the Pageant Cast. Our shows range in length from about 30 minutes to 45 minutes, depending entirely on how much news is going on. You know, if Sarah Connor is misbehaving, it's going to be a long show. when she behaves herself, the shows get shorter. Also, at this time of year, there's just so many young ladies getting crowned right now. Just
yes.
Reading who we have TFTJ comes on. And they'll tell us about who just got crowned. So that's a feature of the show, and that'll lengthen the program. That's another one of the beauties you have, you know, this one-hour format. You got to try to either stretch it or shorten it to fit that time frame. I don't have a clock, so that's very helpful for me. Because, like you said, sometimes you do get the ladies that have one or two word answers, and you're like, oh boy, what did I just get?
Well, you know, when I get that, like you, I'm sure, you could sit at the other end and, you know, roll your eyes and nobody could see you. But when I was on the talk show being taped on television and this happened, I had to be as graceful as I possibly can. And, you know, if you're good at ad-libbing and you can pick up on things very easily like you and I can, we can stretch that interview. I really never had a problem with dead silence. You know, I've always managed to, I may have tongue-tied a little bit trying to get the words out, thinking of what I'm going to say next, but it always works. And I've, even though the show's an hour, I've had people like yourself that I've interviewed that have been wonderful. We had Joy, the owner of Shady Sun, on last week, and oh, her interview was fantastic because she was a great interview. She kept the conversation going, and it made it easier for me before we knew it, the hour was gone.
Yeah,
you know,
Joy Feaster is a lovely lady. We've had her on the program
absolutely.
As well, and she is fantastic, and I can understand what you're saying because she is just a charmer.
Yes, she is, and she's going to be competing next July. I mean, this July, I should say, this month.
Yeah,
and
I'm
wishing her well, and yeah, a couple of weeks. I'm telling you, the way the time's flying. You were with us 4 months ago when you judged the Miss and Mrs. U.S. Beauty Pageant.
Was it 4 months ago already? Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be 4 months.
Yeah, and I've got a full schedule for this year. In fact, I'm going to be watching Joy and all the people competing for Mrs. International in Chicago in, what is it, 2-3 weeks. And then I'm going to the Miss Teen and Miss International. We're going to Galaxy at the end of the month. We're going to Beauties of America in August. And in October, trying to remember, United America, we're going to be traveling to Austin, Texas for that one. So,
and you know,
we have a number of events that we're going to be doing. Either
and there's so many pageant systems today for women to compete in, Tim. I remember when I was a little girl, we just had Miss America, Miss USA, and it pretty much left, you know, everybody out if they weren't qualified to be able to compete in those particular pageants. And now the door is opened with a variety of different pageant systems that focus on different issues that could meet just about every woman's goals and plans to be able to compete and be able to be selective in the pageant world.
And
pageant
that's why industry, a real beauty right now is the young ladies that would like to compete, they can really pick a pageant system that fits their particular strength. Or actually is not suited for their strength, so they can really stretch themselves if they would like to.
And each pageant offers something different, you know. And
right.
I really, really have to tell you that I don't think pageant directors in what I call the inner core pageant world, inner core meaning outside of the Miss USA, Miss America, you know, pageants have been around. The pageants that have been established over the last two decades, maybe three, really, these directors work hard. I mean, we really work hard, and I think the credit is not given the way it should be because the media looks for the negativity all the time, and then we don't have the positive being portrayed as much. How do you think we can, you know, try to bring it to, you know, to the forefront, me and you? You know, how we can bring it to the forefront to be able to bring pageantry into a positive light?
Well, we're doing it right now. We're doing it right now. I mean, it's programs like this, like the pageant test. I know I am using very strongly Facebook, MySpace. I'm working on Twitter. I'm involved in a lot of the different social networks to try to get the word out that pageants aren't for shallow people. It isn't some sort of freak show that every time you turn on the TV, the only time you see a beauty pageant, there's some sort of fight going on behind stage, or somebody is drunk and being yelled at by Donald Trump. I mean, that's when it gets on television. And in fact, my TiVo, I have it set to pick up anything that has the word pageant in it, and when it's beauty pageant, anytime it's used in a sitcom or it's the background of an adventure show or something, there is always the, quote, catfight in the backstage area sequence that you can just, you know, count it off, and it's going to happen about 45 minutes into the show. That's just people's impression of the pageant world. And unfortunately, there is that aspect to it. I've seen some of the ugly side of pageantry. The problem is everybody is focusing on, like, 2% of the folks. You know, 2% of kind of evildoers, bad folks that are causing all these problems. And you got 98% of the young women that are involved are very involved in their platforms, are dedicating their lives to a charity, are getting out there, going to hospitals and, you know, putting crowns on the heads of kids that are in the cancer ward and brightening their day. You know, it's organizations like Queen for a Day, by Jenna Edwards there out of Florida. That's a fantastic organization, and that organization would not exist without pageantry. Pageantry created that entire organization, and it's doing wonderful things. I think they just celebrated their 8th year. There's just incredible stories out there. Unfortunately, they're not being covered. Part of that problem is our directors, you're right, they work very, very hard. They're spending a lot of time, you know, and it's not just the things that it used to be. These days, if you're going to run a big-time beauty pageant, you got to have a great website. You have to have a great presence. You have to have all this extra stuff that I don't think, you know, 10 years ago that really was necessary. Today, if you don't have a great website, you're probably not going to get a whole lot of contestants to your pageant. So you have all that additional stuff to deal with. And I think what you need to do is take advantage of some of these free sources that are out there. PageantCast is one of them. Get your young ladies either interviewed on my show or call. We have a phone number. I'm not going to give it out here. People should be calling your number right now. But it's on our website. They can call and leave a message on our phone line. And we'll play it in the next show. So if I have yet to get a young lady that calls up and says, you know what, I'm going to the so-and-so the local library. I'm going to be reading stories to kids for the next, you know, this Saturday for 15 minutes, and I'm going to be doing that. I'm not getting those phone calls. It isn't that these young girls aren't doing the work. They're doing the work. What they're not doing yet is really promoting all the good things they're doing. The bad things are going to promote themselves. They're going to create publicity. You got no problem about that. What we need to do is really focus on those positive things, and we need to make sure that story gets out there. I have something like 30, 40 different web crawlers, which are these things that go through Google, and it looks for the word beauty pageant, and it says, okay, what type of news story is around it. To this day, the stories that you're seeing is a young lady getting crowned. Those are the positive stories. And then controversy. Somebody put pepper spray in my makeup case. Somebody did this, somebody did that. That's not good. We don't want that. What we need to do is start having stories 2 months after the girl gets crowned. What is she doing now? How
exactly.
Is she continuing to do appearances? You know, those
exactly.
Stories aren't making it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like our new Miss U.S. Beauties National Queen, Gina Cockrell. I mean, you judged her. We're going to get into, you know, judging and how you feel about that, whatever,
down
the road.
She's been on the show, too. She's been on the program already.
And this is new. This is all new for her. So it's overwhelmed her, you know, but she has been courageously supporting you know, the Courageous Kids Camp out in Kentucky for children that have, you know, severe illnesses and things. And she is, her focus is on counseling and going to college for that, besides raising her daughter and being a single mother. And again, a lot of the pageants, they want you, if you're a miss, not to have any children. And I'm going to be honest with you, back in the day, way back in the day, they did not want you to have any children because they figured if we allow these contestants to have children, we're condoning the, you know, having children out of wedlock issue. And that, in those days, that's what it was called. Mm. You know, I really believe nowadays that they should not stop women who have children from competing. What is your thoughts on that?
What is my thought on that? My thought mm-hmm. is that every pageant should set up its own criteria, but stick to them. And my biggest problem with the Tara Conner situation was criteria was set up, and I don't believe Donald Trump followed through on them in that particular case, and then he went after Katie Reed. So if you write it into your rules that a miss does not have a child, then that is that's the rule for that particular pageant. And I believe we're in a situation now that there are enough different pageants out there that there really is a pageant for everyone. So if
yes.
somebody wants to have that part of their Miss, but maybe they have different rules for their Ms. division, that's up to the individual directors and how they want to handle it. It's all about risk management. They,
yes.
they want to be able to figure it out.
You know, because I get a lot of emails from the girls who want to compete in the Miss division saying, are you sure you want me? I have a child, you know. And I'm like, you know what? Who am I to sit in judgment of what has happened in your life? All I know is you are a success story because you are working, going to college, raising your child, and putting forth that effort to do that. And to me, that person is welcomed to compete because I feel that they are an example because they took something maybe that may have been a negative at the beginning of the way it happened and turned it into a positive. And, Tim, this year we are growing phenomenally. I mean, you know, we have 10 state directors. We're going to have between 40 and 60 girls compete next July. What we've decided to do, and, you know, there's pageants out there that have platforms. What we've decided to do was focus in on the contestants' success stories. What has made them a success in their life? It could have been helping an ailing grandmother, you know, picking up a dog that was hit by a car on the road. Whatever has made them a success, we are focusing in on it, and the contestants love it.
Mm-hmm.
They love it because they say, you know, people don't want to give the compliments or the consideration to this anymore, and by us bringing it forward, it is really focusing in on each individual's contestant's successes, and I'm telling you, it's working out great.
Caller on line 3.
You know,
caller on line 3. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Diane.
Yes.
Thank you for taking my call.
Who is this?
This is Meredith Boyd, Mrs. Georgia International.
Oh,
hi.
Meredith. How are you doing, Meredith?
I'm doing just fine. I have a real important question for Tim.
Uh-oh.
Sure.
I would like to know a little bit more about the man behind the microphone. Tim, if you could interview anybody in the world, who would it be and why?
It'd be you, Meredith, over and over again.
Oh, you've already interviewed me. Come on.
Who would I interview? Vanessa Williams.
Yes.
Without a question. That's got to be the person that everybody, when you ask, who is a pageant contestant that you know, the first word that comes out of everybody's mouth is Vanessa Williams. And you know, love her, hate her, whatever your situation is, she is a fascinating, fascinating figure in pageantry and really has changed the landscape of the Miss America system and pageants in general. So, yeah, that would be the interview of a lifetime for the show.
Yeah.
How about you, Meredith, if you had to interview anybody, who would it be?
Oh, it would be Joel Osteen. He's my favorite book author. And inspiration, I love him.
Yes, I do too. He's wonderful.
Yeah, he is, definitely. Thank you for taking my call, and I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you, Meredith.
Have a nice evening. Vanessa Williams is one of my favorites, Tim.
Yeah, in fact, this week on the show, we had Andrea Patrick Forte on the program, and she told us a few little stories about Vanessa because she had competed against her. And Vanessa is a very interesting and a very very divisive character in pageantry. People just either are very against her or very much for her. So.
We have a caller on line two, Tim. How are you, caller?
Hey, how are you?
Hi, what's this?
This is Gina Freeman, and this is North Carolina American Queen 2008.
Hello,
hi, Gina.
Hello, hello, Tim.
Hello.
Hello.
Have I gotten out the word pageant cast enough in tonight's show, Gina?
I've been counting.
Okay, good.
You're doing tremendous. I just want to tell you that I absolutely agree with the topic and discussion, the fact of having children and competing. I have four children myself, and I tell you, it's a busy, busy schedule. And when I'm doing this, I mean, they're very supportive. We are survivors of domestic violence, and I do make that a big emphasis where I've created a new website with a new title. And it's very important that we, as title holders, you know, consider the fact that it's just not about carrying the crown, and it's how you carry the crown and the person behind that. I just 100% agree with what you're saying, that, you know, a really strong platform to me is extremely, extremely important into the community, the state sees what you're doing. And I just want to commend you for bringing that out.
Oh, well, thank you. It's very important that we do focus in on the women who compete and the things that they do. Our Mrs. U.S. Beauty's national queen from 2002, Susan Kajna, she was really wanting to get into the St. Jude's hospitals, and they would not let her in until she won her national title. And I'm going to tell you that she went to so many hospitals and prayed with the parents and prayed over the sick children and was there holding hands and giving support and love for many, many years after she won her title. But that whole year has our national queen. It never made the media. Nobody talked about it except for Charisma Magazine and Christian magazines like Christianity Today and Charisma Magazine. But otherwise, you know, it wasn't talked about. And I'll tell you, though, she has touched so many people over the years, and it was because of her crown and banner.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's true. That's true. That's basically how God has used me as well. And last year, of course, when I took the title for the first runner-up in the Mrs. North Carolina International Community Service Award, I was totally perplexed. I had never been in a pageant prior to, and now I'm taking, of course, the state title for American Queen. I'm very excited to go to nationals, to take my platform to a national level. And I just want to keep pursuing that because as survivors of domestic violence, I've been there. I know that pain. And it's my biggest desire is to help women and children and men, too, as well, that are suffering from this across the United States.
And, you know, I applaud you for that because my Mrs. Alabama and my Mrs. New Mexico, both their platforms are domestic violence. And it is a very serious issue, and it's something we're going to speak about in one of our shows, to be honest with you, because I think we need to bring it across that the women don't need to be in these type of situations. You know, usually it's low self-esteem and maybe not a way out, but they don't need to be there, and we are going to focus in on this one, on one of our talk shows. I hope you do join in with us when we do have the ladies on the show.
Yes, definitely. And if I can be of any assistance, most definitely let me know how I can help, because I've been there and I'm now educating those women who need to be out of those relationships. It's not an easy thing to do. It might be the most difficult step they ever take, but it's something that I am determined and very adamant about doing, is bringing them to a point of education and safety.
Well, best wishes to you, and keep up the good work. We're all very proud
thank
of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
so
much for calling.
Thank you so much, and God bless. God bless you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's great. Great to get so many phone calls tonight.
Well, no, I'm glad these women are calling in to only verify what we've been saying over and over again, that they're just not a pretty face, or they're not out there ripping each other's gowns off. They're out there making a difference in society and the world, and it's not brought forward. I approached a Chicago producer one time about a positive documentary for him to make with us about pageantry. I can get thousands of women to be on the show to speak about, you know, the positive end of pageantry and what it takes, you know, to be a pageant contestant, which is a lot of hard work, as you know.
Mm-hmm. And the difficulty there is, you know, you can probably get 100 advertisers very quickly if it's going to be a show like, I think it was VH1, just had one, the 10 biggest beauty pageant scandals. You can get advertisers for that. It's really difficult to find the advertisers for when people are behaving properly, when people are doing good things. And that's one of the reasons we set up the pageant cast. Count that one, Gina. The pageant cast was set up so that these ladies, while they have their year of service, that they can get their voice out there. Because as often as you hear the cliche that the crown is a megaphone and it makes your voice so much louder, there are parts of this country, and I call that anywhere but the South, where pageants don't necessarily have a lot of strength and publicity behind them. And it needs a little nurturing and a little more push. And one of the pluses to us doing these shows over the Internet is we can get access to people that don't even have radio service in their area. I mean, that's how far-flung this is. I have listeners in Singapore. I have a listener in Calcutta. What they're listening to, I don't know. I'm speaking English the whole time, but Singapore and Calcutta are on the line. We have England. I have a crazy guy from the Netherlands that sends me emails, and he loves the show. You know, there are people listening to the show around the world. And the thing is, you know, honestly, Diane, if we were to put the show, if I had the show on in Milwaukee, I couldn't get enough listeners in the Milwaukee area that are interested in the program. I couldn't get
that
here.
Many. But same here in Illinois.
When you're drawing from the entire United States, or in this case, the entire world, when you're doing that, you're going to be able to start putting something together. And our program, I would say in the last 4 or 5 months, we've been seeing just outstanding increases in listenership, and there's been a lot of excitement. And it's been exciting. I'm looking at my bulletin board right now. I have 5 or 6 interviews already in the can, and I'm recording 4 tomorrow night. So it's growing quickly.
You know why I respect your show, Tim? I'm going to tell you why I respect you and your show. Because you don't put out the dirty laundry, okay? You got message boards out there who want to just cyberbully everybody, okay? You've got negativity that swirls around this industry that is sickening most of the people that are competing nowadays. They don't want to hear it anymore, okay?
Right.
And I respect you because, like me, we're going to focus in on the positive end of everything. Our show is just not about pageantry. I mean, we interview across the board, you know, but when I do interview about pageantry, we're going to keep it clean. We're going to keep it focused. We're going to keep it positive, okay? Because I think there's too much garbage out there trying to hurt contestants' credibility, directors' credibility. And I'm going to say, you know, us directors, we're not perfect, okay? We do things. We learn from them. You know, sometimes things don't work out. It's just part of business. But to have the slanderous message boards and the things that are going on today, you know, I just am totally against it, and I've made that more than
right.
vocal over the course of the years. So I respect the fact that you keep a positive show, and I hope that it stays that way.
Well, those bulletin boards are really the last refuge of cowards, because you don't have to put out your name. You don't even have to keep the same name from time to time on a lot of those message boards. And, you know, I'm kind of a technical type of person, so I look at it from that standpoint. I go, you know, you're allowing, that is the equivalent of letting somebody, you know, criticize you that never has to see your face or hear your voice. And you can take pot shot after pot shot. Well, that's sniper fire is what that is. There's nothing to that type of criticism. Anybody can do that. Now, you did say that we focus on the positive. We very much do. But I don't skirt things like the Terry Connor thing, we fully covered that. We fully covered the pepper spray incident. We do cover it. I've not been a big fan of some of the moves that Miss America has made, going to reality shows.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
we bring
mm-hmm.
it up. We bring mm-hmm. it up because I think I see it as this is a discussion among friends. We're people trying to figure out what is the right direction for these pageants and how can we make sure that they continue on into the future. And
mm-hmm.
that's something that's very close to my heart because for 17 years I had a German radio show in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And that show's no longer on the air because the advertisement disappeared. And that community is slowly passing away, frankly. And it's first-generation Germans that listen to that show. Second generation isn't coming along. Beauty pageants have been around a long time. But what we're seeing, and you as a director, you're seeing this probably most closely, is that the Miss Division, the 20-something young ladies, that division is shrinking.
Yes,
teens,
it is.
You're still seeing this strong. Misses is stronger than ever, in my opinion. It seems like Misses is becoming a very strong group. You know, like the Misses International pageant that's coming up in a couple of weeks. That is an incredible group of women that are going to be competing in Chicago. And it's just amazing the quality of the candidates that we're getting for those pageants. That being said, that whole 20-something age group of young ladies, there isn't the competition that there once was. Again, you kind of have to take Miss America and Miss USA kind of off the board with that because there's an amount that's going to be there at all times. But for the most part, I'm seeing the women that are Miss are having, you're having some difficulty keeping them. And why? Because they are going to school. Because they are starting their lives. They're getting married. They're starting their lives. And pageants just isn't on the palate sometimes.
You're absolutely correct. And sometimes with the Miss Division, like you said, with school and getting married and things, it's hard to attract them. I know that we are getting new Miss contestants who've never competed before. Tons of questions wanting to compete. I like our new girls. You know why? They're excited. They're excited at the pageant. You know, they're jumping up and down. They're a little nervous, but they're anxious. But what we've done is we have a team of consultants now who are professionals in their field who help work with our girls and get them ready to compete nationals next year. Our pageant coach, Susan, we have Diva Cosmetics working with their makeup. We have a dietitian with Malenka. We have Donna with Trilogy Collections. You know, we have consultants here that will help them and prepare them for their national competition because I can't do it all. I mean, I'm just like, my 8 days are 18 hours. You know, so having the consultants on board working with the girls and preparing them gets them a little bit feeling at ease. Let me ask you a question. You got guy friends. I'm sure you get teased, but I'm sure they're also jealous. So tell me, how do you deal with the guys, the guy friends of yours?
It's equal parts. And, you know, I'll just say it. I'm a straight guy, and there's some stigma to following pageants as a straight guy. But I win them over because I have Christmas cards with the hottest young ladies in the world on my arm, and they all behave or they don't get Christmas cards. So that's how it goes.
Okay.
And a lot of my friends from work, they're in construction. You know, these are the guys, they go out there and they work hard every single day, and they're only going to give you respect if you're tough. So I come in there and, you know, my nice suit and... Hey, I'm going to a pageant. They have a great time with it, but, yeah, there's a certain amount of jealousy going on there, too.
Oh, sure. Hey, you know, the ladies, the contestants, they love you. I mean, you know, you're at almost every pageant in the world. You're probably exhausted. I don't know how you even get to your job, which is... How do you do it? I mean, and the other day I get an email from you. It sounded like, Di, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
It's like, I finally got your email.
honestly, right now I'm about a month behind on my email at the pageant cast. The real trick for me is I have automated how email is handled in my computer, that if it has certain keywords, they'll, spam it out. Or I now have, we just had our first giveaway on the show. We just gave away a book by Lou Parker, our Miss USA 1994.
Yes.
She was 1994. Yes. We just gave that away. I automated that whole system so people can submit their contest entries. So we're trying to automate absolutely everything we can, but I'm still, part of the problem is so many ladies get their tiaras in like the last 3 months and are going to nationals, and they all want to be interviewed now before nationals. And, I'm an old man. I don't have that type of stamina. I can't do that. So I put together these marathon nights like tomorrow where I'm going to be interviewing four, beautiful, dynamite young ladies in a row. And I know there's going to be a lot of sugar and caffeine involved in that pursuit tomorrow. Luckily, I'm naturally sweet, so I won't need the sugar so much.
Oh, yes,
so much,
you are.
But,
you're a good. you make them feel so good. During your interview, you really make them feel relaxed, and you're great with them. You're great interviewing them, and I think the girls keep coming back to you because you are a great interviewer. Plus, you make them feel comfortable. Plus, you're a guy. We'd love to see more guys involved with pageantry.
So maybe you will
lead by an example, huh?
Oh, we'll see. No, one of the things that I did an interview over with pageantpeople.com, and one of the things we got into over there was, what is it that you see with promoting? Because I know I kind of sound like a broken record. I was involved with the Milwaukee German community, so I kind of understand festivals. This is something I know a lot about. I know that at beauty pageants, you could get a lot more guys there. It'd be very easy, but it involves buying half barrels. So you can't use that particular approach. You're not going to have a beer skid in the back of the, but it'd be very popular, I'm telling you right now.
Oh, yeah, could you see that?
However, yeah. There are things that can be done. One of the things that I've noticed is, and I'm saying this for any director that does a local for Miss America, does, a pageant that's a smaller, more community-based pageant, go to your local high school and go to a football game and take a look at that audience. That's the audience you're trying to get. That's that local community audience. What do you see? You see the moms and the dads of the players. Now, those, at most pageants I've been at, you've got that. That's handled. It appears that all the pageants I've gone to, there's a family aspect. That's great. And you have the relatives and the friends that they bring along. That's great, too. But what you have at a local high school football game that you don't have at a lot of pageants are, quote, fans of the system. Fans of, for us, we have the Muskego Warriors. They're about a half a mile down the street here. There are people that are Muskego Warrior fans. They go every year, they go to every game because it's Muskego Warriors. Now, why don't we have Miss Muskego fans? Why don't we have fans of Miss Wisconsin? Now, we do have some. We do have some. But that group isn't large enough. We need to get more there. And how do you do that? I say the usual, go in the shops, put up those posters. But something people aren't using is drop casting, and this is something I like to use. You go and you grab a bunch of postcards with your beauty pageant on it. All the information. Go to a B. Dalton. Open up the magazines, Elle, Cosmo, all of which magazines to get. The magazines that young ladies are going to be reading and your target audience. And start slipping these postcards into the magazines and then put them right back on the magazine rack for somebody to purchase. Why not? There's nothing against it. And you're hitting exactly the people that are interested in your type of event. It's called drop casting. I think it's a wonderful tool. I've been using it. I just got a bunch of new postcards from Vistaprint.com for free. Just slide them in there. And if you're promoting your platform, you know, like Gina was telling us about domestic abuse and that sort of thing, why not get a bunch of cards made up, tell people, you know, what they can do if they find themselves in a situation, and go throw them in a couple news weeks, throw them in, you know, local magazines.
Good idea.
It's a way of getting people. It's free if you're using a service like Vistaprint, which does absolutely, I've been very pleased with those guys. Everybody has their own printer and, you know, their friends that can do this stuff. It's cheap.
Vistaprint is wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm a cheap guy. I know all the cheap ways to do it. The ladies feel free to buy me things. Anyway.
So here we go. I knew that was coming.
Well, yeah, and I'm single, so find your
friend. I know you are.
And get them to give me a call. I need the help.
Okay, we're going to put a call out to you, all you single girls. Tim is invaluable.
Yeah, that's right. And for you married ladies, I'm sure you know somebody.
If somebody's sitting there going, with all the pageants you go to, you cannot meet a single girl?
If I had a dollar for everybody that was going to set me up on a blind date, I'd be a very wealthy, well, I am anyway. But you know, it would be difficult. I've been on two blind dates. They were all incredibly poor. So I go to these things. Generally, I'm too old for the contestants, or they're too married. So I figure I'm kind of safe, actually. There's kind of a safety valve there that I feel good about.
I always could feel Tim smiling when I'm on his website, Pageant Kids, when he has, or when he sends in the blogs with the pictures of the girls in the bikinis.
Oh,
and then I see Tim smiling.
I'm smiling all the time when I'm doing this show. It's a lot of fun.
Yes, you do. You have a good time with it.
We're testing with my new webcam. We're testing some stuff out while I'm doing this interview to see if a live stream can be done. And so far, it has not gone down or anything. And we're going to be doing some new innovative stuff in the near future. That's one of the things. I have a job that I get to use my creative side, but I have like this mad scientist side to me. And I love trying new stuff with my computers and things like that. So I'm always trying, what can I make the computer do that I didn't get it to do last year? And I found a webcam for like $10, and I've been experimenting and doing all sorts of crazy things, and I'm like, I wonder if I could do a video cast with it. I got her going right now. It's amazing what, you know, cost thousands of dollars just a year and a half ago. I'm doing on a free account right now. So I just love doing this stuff.
Well, you know,
until computers have completely matured and they're not creating anything else, I'll probably always find some new thing to try out. You know, and I've had things we've tried out that have been complete bombs. We tried a big conference call one time during Miss USA. No calls. Nobody wanted to worry about it while they're watching Miss USA. So I was like, well, I understand that. Who wants to be on the phone during Miss USA? But we've tried a lot of different things, and we're going to continue. I'm pretty stubborn. I'm a German. You know, I'm going to keep trying stuff until we find out what all works. I can tell you the contest was a huge, huge success.
Good.
We had a lot of people that wrote in for it. And I was, how embarrassed would I be if I had two names? You know, I was thinking, and of course, you know, I always think worst case. What if no nobody puts in a, what am I going to do? How am I going to explain this?
You know what you do in that case? You call your favorite queens and you say, please do me a favor and start dropping names, please.
I did not, you know, and I did not have to do that. And it was fantastic because the young lady that won is one of my favorites. So it was great. But I didn't have to do that at all. I will tell you, Facebook and MySpace grew this show. This show had 20 listeners when we started. After MySpace, it took a huge jump, and now with Facebook, it's getting to the size where it's almost unmanageable the amount of listeners we have. So it's been a lot of fun.
And MySpace is a great networking tool. We found MySpace. That's how we found most of our directors, through MySpace.
Yeah.
Great networking. Now, you judged our pageant in March.
Yeah.
We loved having you there. You were just... And actor Walt Willie was there, so you had a chance to meet him. Quite a guy.
And he did. I can't believe it. He did such an incredible job. It was unbelievable. I was really impressed because I've hosted. That is not an easy gig, folks. That is not an easy gig because if you're told stretch, you aren't like that guy in Fantastic Four. You have to fill time, and you may not have anything you need to say. So he did a great job. He did a great job.
Now, when you judge.
Mm-hmm.
To me, from what I can tell, you took this really seriously. You take judging seriously. What are you looking for in a winner?
I wish I knew. I really do. I see it as a job interview. And what
go.
I'm looking for is the person that is going to take pageantry and transcend it and use this opportunity to get the story out there that beauty pageants, it isn't all about big hair. It isn't about all the backstage hijinks. What it's really about is growing self-confidence in young women and getting that word out there. So I'm looking for somebody that's articulate, so, you know, obviously the opposite of me. I'm looking for somebody that's attractive. They have to be attractive. First of all, it's called a beauty pageant. But also, being physically attractive, there's all these sociological reports that tell you people listen to people they think look good. They think they're more intelligent, all those things. So they need to have that attractive aspect as well. So a lot of what I do is I ask questions primarily to see if they're pageant patties or the pre-programmed robot. I ask a lot of questions to see if I can trip them up, where I start with one question and I end with a different question, just to see if they're listening, because that's exactly the problem that can happen. If they have a news camera stuck in their face and they go, they start answering a question that wasn't asked of them, they're going to have some real problems there. And that's what I try to trip them up there, because it's a lot better tripping them up in that judge's room than out on Channel 4 at the 11 o'clock news.
Well, you know, we are done. Do you know the hour's over? I'm telling you, see? You were great. You going to come back on the show again?
Sure.
I hope so, and I hope you'll be there next July.
I hope the next time, and all the people that are listening, start advertising here on the show so we can take some breaks, because I'm dying right now.
Has
we
always,
need commercial breaks, and it's good for everybody. It's good for pageantry.
As always, it's a pleasure. I enjoy speaking with you. You know that. And I hope to have you on the show again.
All right.
Have a nice summer. Keep in touch with me. And keep next July open for nationals. I'd love to have you there.
We
thank
gotta
you.
See. You know how my calendar gets.
I know. Well, thank you.
We'll work something out, Daya.
Thank you for being a guest on our show tonight, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in to BBS Talk Radio for a Beautiful You. We will see you next Wednesday. Have a good evening.
Bye, everybody. Thanks, Diane.